Hi, everybody. This is Jeremy. My wife, Candace, and I are the pastors at the Ridge Assembly at Park Hill. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope this message connects with you, that inspires you, reveals God's word of truth in your life. Be encouraged and enjoy the message. Last week, we talked about Jesus' authority, and that's a huge topic. That's a big deal, right? Because his authority is limitless. And last week, we looked at the story of the centurion's servant who was healed by Jesus. You probably remember the story from Matthew 8, but the Roman centurion had a servant who he loved very much, apparently, because he walked a long way to get Jesus' attention to say, "Hey, Jesus, I need you to come heal this guy." And Jesus, you know, being great in power and compassionate, looks at him and says, "Absolutely, I'd love to do that. You want me to go to your house?" And the centurion has this incredible revelation of authority. Maybe because he, you know, as a centurion, he had about 100 soldiers under him. That's what the centurion thing is. So he's in a position of authority, so maybe he understands it that way. I don't know. It's a spiritual insight. And so he understands the idea that Jesus doesn't just have the power to heal, but he has the authority to do it as well. And so the centurion responds, "Jesus, I don't need you to come. I just need you to speak the word and it will be done." Because he understood authority. And that kind of faith amazed Jesus. And how awesome is it to amaze the creator of the universe? Like, that's next level awesome. But that kind of faith and authority amazed Jesus. And so last week we talked about that. We talked about the extreme and supreme authority of Jesus, that whatever decisions that he makes, whatever he utters in heaven, earth, under the earth, demons, powers, principalities, Satan himself, will all bend their knee to the power and the decision of God Almighty. Therefore, we can find comfort and confidence in the ability for our God to watch over his word in our lives. That when God calls us to do something, there's nothing that can stand in our way. Right? This is like recap 101. We talked about this last week. When God says do something, then absolutely he watches over his word to perform it. That he provides, that he sets a hedge, and that's good news. And that should make us shout, because God has called us to do incredible things. And whatever he's spoken over us must come to pass. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Weapons will be formed, but they will not prosper. It's like Paul, who God said, "You're going to have to stand in front of Caesar and testify of me." And he said, "Okay, let's go." And then there's a conspiracy and a shipwreck and a snake bite. And all this stuff tried to keep him from doing what God called him to do. But it's impossible to stand against the word of God. Nothing can stand in your way. And that lets me shout a little bit. Like, to me, that's like leg shaking good. I'm excited about this, because I understand the call of God and I understand the authority of God to perform it. And that's awesome. So a lot of us are like, yes. And then there's others that, when we talk about things like this, feel a little bit left out. Just to be honest. Because not everybody has this call into the fivefold ministry, right? And that's the way we always think about ministry, is the fivefold ministry. And sometimes we feel like if we don't fall into those categories, then maybe all the awesome shouting stuff of God's authority to watch over his word, maybe that doesn't really apply to us. I was a youth pastor for a really, really long time. I loved being a youth pastor, and it's just so much fun. I'm going to camp this year, and I'm pumped up about it. And I'm going to have to find some Geritol or something, because it's going to be tough. But I'll tell you this. One of the things that was always kind of difficult to navigate in youth ministry is the people that get so excited about God and the call of God on their lives. And they're like, "Yes, I must be called into ministry." And that's they'll say that, and they'll think that, and they'll have an experience in the altar, and they'll walk away from that and say, "I am called by God," and absolutely they are. But then they get discouraged when they don't fit into the mold of the fivefold ministry, right? They're not cut out to be pastors or evangelists or prophets or apostles or teachers or something. That, and so you get all these people that they feel a call of God. They don't know how they can live it out, and so they can go one of two ways. They can either really try to put themselves into that mold, even though that's what not really where God has them. That's not their gifts, talents, or abilities, but they just try to shove it in there, you know, square peg, round hole kind of thing. They just brute force it, and that is very frustrating. The other side of that coin is that people will say, well, okay, if I don't fit into this and I'm not going to force myself into it, then that must mean that even though I had this incredible experience with God, even though I felt His power, even though I felt His call, I must not actually be called. Because there's no place in the American church for the gifts and talents and abilities that I have, so I must not actually be called to do something in the kingdom the way that I thought I was. And that's a real scenario that plays out every day in youth ministry, and that's just the way that I've experienced. The truth of the matter is it probably plays out daily, or at least biweekly, in our own lives. That we have a moment with God, we feel God moving on us, we feel a call to do something great, and we're like, yes! And so we picture ourselves under that same authority we talked about last week, where nothing can stop us, and then we realize that, you know, maybe what God is calling me to do, I don't know if it fits into that category. And we start trying to process things in our own minds, and in our own minds we talk ourselves out of believing what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God doesn't put callings and gifts and abilities into such a well-defined box that we in the American church have. So, for all of us that sometimes struggle with living out the fivefold ministry, but we still feel very called to do something incredible in the kingdom, I have very good news, and that is that there is atypical callings and atypical anointings to accompany those things. These are people that you have a call of God, but it may come out in an unconventional way to do unconventional things. And all of us are under the authority of Jesus that we talked about last week, and He's going to watch over His word to perform that in our lives. We have to embrace the awesome authority of Jesus to perform His word and embrace the fact that His plans are not always exactly what we expect. So this week I was still kind of, you know, the sermon from last week on the authority of God and watching over His word to perform it was still kind of simmering in the background, and I was reading in Exodus and I came across this passage of scripture that I thought, oh snap, I need to share this. Exodus chapter number 31, beginning in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel. 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 That one's a tough one. See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. Yes! I have chosen this guy. Bezalel, you are chosen. And I have filled you, and I have anointed you. You've got my spirit, you've got my wisdom, and that is awesome. And so you start thinking, well, gosh, this guy, he must be like some commander. Or maybe he's like, you know, maybe he's one of the guys carrying the ark. Or maybe he's, you know, like the official, like, staff passer for Moses. I don't know. But you think, like, he's got some kind of awesome job. And then you read on, and he's like, I've anointed you to do all these things to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, bronze, and to cut and set stones, and to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Didn't see that one coming. Verse 6 says, moreover, I have appointed Oliab, the son of Ahizamak, the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given abilities to the skilled workers to make everything I commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the covenant law, the atonement cover for it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the the pure gold lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings and its utensils, the basin, the stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron and the priests and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you. Guys, this is a great moment in Israel's history. This is incredible. Right? This is the Exodus. Right? This is when the people are seeing the fire of God, where they are literally walking in miracles. Right? Their clothes aren't wearing out. Their shoes aren't wearing out. They're getting manna, rain from heaven, water from rock. This is incredible. They are surrounded by great leaders. They've got Moses and Aaron, and then you got Joshua and Hur, and all of these incredible people ministering the word of God and governing the people, and it's awesome. And in the middle of all of that, you've got Bezalel and Oliab. And it's important. These men and their anointing, not just their talents, their anointing is very, very important. How do I know this? Well, a couple of reasons. One is, look at the real estate that it takes up in the Bible. The Bible, it's a long book, but it's not like limitless. There's only so many things there that the word that God, you know, in his infinite wisdom, decided to record and to pass down to us thousands of years later. And this takes up a significant portion of it. And not only that, but he doubles down and repeats almost the exact same passage a couple of chapters later in Exodus 35. Right? This is significant. They weren't called to the fivefold ministry, but you better believe they were called and they were anointed for something that was a little bit atypical. And it was so very important. You can tell by how they just, the description of what they had to make. And it mattered. It mattered a lot, because what they were working on was a place that would bring glory to God. They were working on a place where God's presence would be housed. The tabernacle in the wilderness, I don't have time to go into all the details today. And honestly, I don't even know all the details. I wish that I did, but I do know that it was significant. And I know that God told Moses, you got to make this exactly like I'm showing you on the mountain, because this is a picture of what's in heaven. So they had to pick out some people that weren't just talented, but were anointed. And they made the altar. And they made the basin where the sacrifice died, and where the priest would wash. It's like the washing of the water of the word. And they'd make the lampstand representing the word of God, Jesus Christ. And they'd make the altar of incense representing the prayer of the saints. And they'd make the mercy seat, the place where God would meet with people. This was important. And just like God is holy, these instruments had to be holy. And just like God is perfect, these had to be perfect. Because this was housing the presence of God. This was representing the glory of God. It was a big deal. You can't just go to IKEA. God had a plan. This morning, guys, there's three big takeaways that I want you to get out of this. Okay, we'll go through these pretty quick. And then three big takeaways. First, there are appointments in the kingdom that are atypical. They don't fit into the fivefold ministry. They may shift based on culture, based on technology, based on whatever, but there are appointments in the kingdom of God. And these are callings. You may not be with a microphone, whether you're singing or preaching. You may not be teaching. You may not be whatever that we think of in the modern church as the normal ministry, but there are callings that are atypical, and they matter very much. Number two, the authority of Jesus to watch over his word extends to any calling, even the atypical ones. And three, my personal favorite, there is atypical anointing that is granted for atypical calling. And there is a huge difference between being talented and being anointed. I saw a meme and it said, just because you're misunderstood doesn't mean that you're an artist. Okay? Just because you're good at something doesn't mean that you're anointed to do it. But God gives gifts to everyone and expects that those gifts are used for the furtherance of his kingdom, right? That's the principle of stewardship. That if you're a gifted, you know, gifted singer, that you sing for the Lord. If you're a gifted artist, you draw for the, whatever it is, right? And that's stewardship, and that's level one. Beyond that, though, there's a next level that it's a legit anointing to do the work of God. Okay, so atypical calling, the authority extends to those things, and not just gifts, talents, and abilities. Those are great, and you can use those in that stewardship. But take the next step, and there is an anointing to perform these callings as well. And that's a big deal. So what fits into this category? Well, I wish I could answer specifically, but the nature of atypical callings is, well, you know, a little bit atypical. So instead, here's just four subcategories, and you can fill in the blanks, okay? Number one, anything that brings glory to God. Like, hey, Jeremy, what's the deal? What kind of atypical callings are there? I don't know. Anything that brings glory to God. God is glorious. That's why the articles of the temple had to be so glorious. That's why there was an anointing for these craftsmen. Again, this wasn't just talent. This wasn't just gifts. This wasn't just practice and experience. This was anointing. God formed these guys in the mother's womb to say, I have a plan for you, and it's for you to make these articles to bring me glory. And it's crazy to think about, but that's the way that it happens. God is glorious. So what can we do to bring God glory? What can you and I do to show God's glory to others? And whatever that thing is, that's where we take it from talent to anointing. As a big C church, guys, we have to distinguish between talent and anointing because God does. You know, and I got lost in a subreddit several weeks ago, and it was just a wormhole that I went down, and then I wished that I wouldn't. But it was a guy that was talking, or the whole thread was about people that had quit religion. And there was one guy that said, you know what, I used to go to church all the time, and I loved worship, and I always felt close to God. And so that was his thing. And then he went to college or whatever, I don't know, years passed, and he just started going to concerts, and he said, I felt the same thing. And his whole deal was, what I attributed to the presence of God, I really just liked live music. And I was like, oh, that hurts. That hurts. Because if there's no difference between just a rocking band in church and a rocking band at a concert, then we, the church, are missing something significant. So gifts, talents, and abilities are awesome. And we're going to use those to bring glory to God. But if we're going to... But what I'm talking about this morning isn't just gifts, talents, and abilities. It's an anointing. It's the next level. It's how do we sing to bring glory to God so that the atmosphere changes? How do we play the instruments so that it changes the atmosphere? How do we speak with authority and not just funny stories? How do we do these things that it is an anointing that's driving it to bring God glory, not glory to our own talents and abilities? I'm not interested in creating a place that has a spotlight on human talents. I'm not interested in that at all. I'm not interested in having anyone's name in lights except the name of Jesus Christ. That's what matters. That's an anointing, and it's not talents. And that's what we've got to do to bring glory to God. The unfortunate thing about parts of the American church is that we have taken the spotlight off of Jesus and we bring glory to man. And it will never succeed. So, what kind of atypical anointing qualifies to stand under the authority of Jesus to where nothing can stop you? Well, it's anything that brings glory to God. Not to yourself. Not to an organization, not to anything else, but brings glory to God. Number two, anything that houses God's presence, like creating a place of worship. You know, the crazy thing about the tabernacle, and it's weird for us to even think about, because now, praise God, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn and God's presence is with us. And so it's kind of difficult for us to even imagine the significance of the tabernacle in the wilderness, but that really did house the glory of God. New Testament Christians, well, okay, for us, it's funny because, the Bible says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The catch, though, is that you is both singular and plural, right? It is you and refers to your body in 1 Corinthians 6, and it's you plural referring to the church in 1 Corinthians 3. What in the world does this have to do with anything? Well, I'm telling you this. Anything that you can do to welcome God's presence among us is an atypical anointing. Sometimes it's, you know, part of the fivefold ministry, and that's awesome. Other times it's not. Other times it's things that require a little bit of talent to go along with that anointing, like singing. You don't want me to lead worship, I promise. Sometimes it's just being audacious in your worship, like David. I don't know if the dude could dance or not. I don't know. But he was a worship leader in that moment. Sometimes it's giving a word of knowledge or a tongue or interpretation, or sometimes it's just a hug or a high five or a smile or something that seems very small, but if you mix in anointing with it, then suddenly you're able to change atmospheres. You're able to create an opportunity where people are drawn closer in the presence of God. It makes it easier to enter into God's presence. Now, let's be clear. Everybody has the choice whether they do or not, right? So it's not on you. But I am saying that there is an atypical anointing that is kind of a worship leader and kind of not. It's someone who can step into an atmosphere, to a room, and say, you know what? Right now, I'm going to make room for the Holy Ghost. And if it's just me and like a 2-foot circle around me, I'm going to experience the presence of God. And you know what happens? If that's not just talent, if it's true anointing, it starts to spread like a wildfire kind of thing. And I'm a little bit of a pyromaniac, especially when it comes to spiritual things. I'm telling you, if you've got a call into ministry, no, it doesn't have to be like fivefold ministry thing. Maybe it's just that you can create an atmosphere where the presence of God is contagious. In which case, you're under that authority where nothing can stop you. All right, where are we? Number 3. Anything that strengthens the church. God loves his church. He really does. We're the bride of Christ. I mean, that's a big deal. When you think about that language, when you think about that term, the bride of Christ, oh, so much love that he commissions toward us, so much authority that we command as the bride of Christ. Anything that strengthens his church is something that can be an atypical anointing. We've worked pretty hard to strengthen the American church through programs and policies. Nothing wrong with that. We've tried to find some talented people. And there's nothing wrong with that. We tried to work real hard, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? Honestly, I think a lot of that stuff is required because that's kind of the nature of stewardship. But there's more than that. There's anointing. And it's got to be anointing for not just the places and the offices that we would expect. I'm looking for some atypical anointing. And I say I'm looking. No, the Spirit of the Lord is going to and fro throughout the earth, and he is ready to dish out atypical anointing for atypical callings, because what's happening and the needs right here, even in this community, are different than they were 1,000 years ago. They're different than they are a couple of states over. They're different than they are somewhere else around the world. There are some needs that are happening right here, and I don't know what God is calling you to do personally, but can I tell you this, that if he has a plan for you to strengthen the church through it, he has an anointing for you to do it also, and an authority that won't let you be stopped. This is where we start talking about after-school programs or help programs or whatever else. I don't know. There's so many things that we can do to strengthen the church. I can't even list them all, so I'm not going to try to be specific. I'm just trying to be in general. There are atypical callings. And if it's serving food or after-school stuff or teaching some kid or the encouragers program that we do, I don't know, whatever it is, do it unto the Lord. And do it with an anointing that matches a calling that is building the kingdom. It's a big deal. Last but not least, you should have seen this one coming. Anything that advances the kingdom. Anything that advances the kingdom. I love the fivefold ministry. I would like to have some of those gifts that I probably don't have. Like, to me, I think being a prophet would be awesome. I'm really not that. Sometimes I think being a teacher would be awesome. Not that either. Sometimes I think, you know, being a pastor would be awesome. Well, I don't know. That's mostly Candace. The fivefold ministry doesn't have a corner on the market for evangelism and building the kingdom. Thank God for the fivefold ministry, right? But it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the kingdom, meaning that it's the saints that are doing the work in the kingdom. The fivefold ministry is a huge part of it, but there's a lot more out there than that. The question is, ladies and gentlemen, what can you do to advance the kingdom? Back to all those students that I talked to in youth ministry, they're like, you know, Pastor Jeremy, I feel like I'm called into ministry. Great. Great. You are. What does that look like? Does that look like you standing up with a microphone or writing a book or going on tour or leading worship? I don't know. Probably not, to be honest. I don't know. But there is something that you can do to advance the kingdom of God. There is something. There's a testimony you can share. There's a counseling that you can do. I don't know. There's a listening ear. There's a word of knowledge that you can give. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are varied, and they are specific to the person, to the need at the time. I don't know what it is, but I do know that in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you can go from being just a personality that's drawing people to being a spiritual lure that pulls people in. What does it look like to advance the kingdom? It means preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and making disciples. And we cannot, as a church, a big C church, and as our church, we cannot say that that only happens Sunday mornings at 10:30, sometimes Wednesday nights at 7. That's not how it was supposed to be. Guys, we've got to be available for atypical calling, and we have to receive atypical anointing. I've read that passage of scripture a lot. I've listened to it on, you know, commuting or whatever. It's just always something you just always just skim over. It's like, great, these people, they're making stuff. But the part where God says, I called them, I chose them, that's different. It's different. So be available for atypical calling, receive atypical anointing, and guard that anointing and calling, because the Lord will watch over His word to perform it. And all of the blessings of the authority of God that apply to all those called will apply to you also in your atypical.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We invite you to be part of our online community by subscribing to this podcast. Also, follow us on social media at The Ridge Assembly PH on Facebook and Instagram. If you live in the Central Arkansas area, we certainly invite you to be part of our live community. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at the Old Park Hill Elementary Building. That's at 3801 JFK Boulevard in North Little Rock. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.